It's a wonderful, exciting day for us all. I was in my local news agents this week, and I noticed a sign by the shop assistant right in front of me that said this: talking to you makes my day. I asked, do you know what? When I read that, I thought, that made my day. A lovely sign there. Talking to you, it said, makes my day. Sadly, when I went back the next day, the sign had been sold. So I think I was probably reading too much into it to think that, you know, of all the people that were going in and out of that shop every day, each day, that they only put it up for me. But there you go, it encouraged my heart nonetheless when I first saw it. And I just wonder this morning, you know, as Adelaide comes to be baptised, I don't know if we've got that up there, as Adelaide comes to be baptised, I wonder this morning what it is that makes our day. What is it? Sometimes it can be something simple, can't it? Just like somebody giving you a hug. Or just a word of encouragement. Sometimes it can be even simpler than that. Just somebody letting you out onto Shirley High Street on a busy day. It can make your day, can't it? Sometimes it might be meeting somebody that you haven't met for a long time. Or maybe a card that comes unexpectedly through the post. And you kind of rise up in your spirit, don't you? And with your heart. And even if there's nobody there to say it to, you feel that you're saying it to yourself. That made my day. You ever had that experience? I hope it's been on the positive side. I remember some years ago, you know, there was a film out, wasn't there, about that crusty old Californian cop called Harry Callahan, Dirty Harry, played by Clint Eastwood, who would point his weapon at somebody and in a most threatening tone say, go ahead, I'll miss the next word, go ahead, make my day. Well, if it takes someone else being harmed or somebody else being hurt or harassed to make our day, then I don't think that it can be a day that we're rejoicing in the Lord with. Do you? I personally don't think that is the case. But we need to be rejoicing in the Lord, who made the day to make our day, whatever the day hits us with. So on this very special day, it makes my day to have a young person like Adelaide step forward, reveal the label of her new name, to put it in the way that Laura so helpfully put it, and to publicly confess her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as she goes through the waters of baptism. It makes my day because it is the obedient outcome of an inward faith. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It doesn't say believe on the church. It doesn't say believe on the pastor. It doesn't say believe on baptism or anyone or anything else come to that. It simply says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the promise. You will. No ifs and buts. You will be saved. You see, baptism is not the means by which we are saved. It is the message that we declare loud and strong and big and bold by which we've already been saved. Amen? It's not a matter of how old we are. You know, Adelaide's very young, but it's not a matter of your age. It's not adult baptism. It's believer's baptism. It's in whom you put your trust. Not how old you are when you do it. It's not a matter of what Baptists do either. It's simply a matter of what the Bible says. You see, we read in this psalm, don't we? Right there at the beginning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And primarily, if you get the context of the psalm itself, the day that it's speaking of is that wonderful day of salvation. The day, to put it in the terms of the psalm, the stone the builders rejected became the cornerstone. It became the capstone. It became the keystone of our salvation. The day when the world turned its back on Jesus Christ, as God in Christ turned his face towards us and laid the foundation through his death and resurrection of our hope and of our help and bring joy to our hearts. When he gives up his divine right to life And he dies on that cruel cross to save us from all of our wrongs. What a day. Amen. No wonder the psalmist says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Who doesn't want to rejoice in a day like that? You know, when God opens up heavens and pours out his blessing in the sending and suffering and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who doesn't want to sing, "Let us rejoice and be glad in it"? Who doesn't want to say personally with the psalmist here in verse 21, "I will give you, Lord, thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation." Now, I don't know the words exactly that Adelaide will use when she comes back in from her fire group and gives testimony to the Lord herself, but I know that truth, that "you, Lord, have become my salvation," will be right at the very heart of what she has to share. Because every child of God is thankful for this day, and it makes our day when we put our trust in Christ. Does it not? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You see, we're not simply here to live to count the days, are we? We're here to live to make sure that the days that we have count, that they matter and they make a difference. And through us, other lives are changed, because we never know how many days we get. Even this morning, you know, Kathy and I had a phone call from Chester to tell us of a young lady who's gone home. Young lady, lives in Ireland that we know of, who's died. And I had some other sad news this week too from dear folks that I dedicated their little girl here. Some of you will remember, I've told some of you, Emmanuel and Belinda. I don't know if you remember Emmanuel and Belinda. Brought their little, well, Emmanuel died. Yeah, bless his heart, 35. And I've spoken to Belinda and I've sent us her love. But you see, you never know. But she knows that he's with the Lord. And even in the sadness of that day, there's a joy that comes in knowing that he is with the Lord. And so we get in this verse here, don't we, of Psalm 118, right at the exact center of the Bible. I don't know if you know that. It's the center chapter of the whole Bible. There are 594 chapters before, and there's 594 chapters after. So that'll give you something to do in the message, won't it? Hey, check it out. Is he telling the truth? And yet right in the heart of this chapter, that's right in the center of the Bible, is this wonderful thought that we can live our days to the joy and to the glory of God. To put it in a very simple sentence that I hope we can just unpack for a few moments before the fire groups come back in, the encouragement is this: live each day looking to the Lord to make our day in every way. And how's that going to happen? Well, there you go to start with. Look at each day as a God-given day. It's what the psalmist says. Look at it again. This is the day the Lord has made. Who makes the day? The Lord makes the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Every day is a day that God manufactures, that God makes, that God marks, and God masters, whether we believe it or not. Every moment of every second, of every second, of every minute, of every minute, of every hour, of every hour of every day is literally a gift from God. The Lord has made the day. And we need to understand that we got to look at it as a gift. It's interesting that the same word that's used there, you know, in the passage, the Lord has made, there's the same word that's used in Genesis when it talks of God creating the world in which we live. It's a marvelous sense that God not only created space, but God creates time. And just as God created this world for us to live in, so God creates it on a day-to-day basis for us to enjoy our lives in too. What a gift. What a gift. Who doesn't want to rejoice in that kind of gift and be glad for it when you've got it? You see, folks, we're not here today by accident. We're here by design. This day is not the product of chance. This is a day that the Lord has made. Just as we don't live in this world by accident, it is the product of God's planning and God's purpose. so that we can fulfill the potential that he's put us in it to fulfill. Isn't that a helpful thing? I remember, 200 years ago, I don't remember it myself, but I remember reading that the guy of the day, the kind of Richard Dawkins of his day, if you like, Robert Ingersoll, is called the Great Atheist. That's the way that they titled this man. He sat down in Pastor Henry Ward Beecher's office, and he was known as the greatest preacher of the day. He sat down in his office, and he noticed that in Henry Ward Beecher's office was this wonderfully sculptured and beautifully painted globe of the world. And Ingersoll looked at that, and he said, "That is marvelous." He said to Beecher, the minister, he said, "Who made it?" And Beecher said, "No one made it. It just happened to be there." Marvelous thing, isn't it? Nobody, not even an atheist, can look at a model of the globe of the world and think that it just happened to be there. And yet they're trying to tell us continually that when you look at the world in its reality, well, it just happens to be here. Folks, I don't believe it. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it because of him. Don't you think so? You know, we get the time that God gives us. And when it comes to time, he never plays favorites, does he? Because every day we always get the same amount in the purse of our life. The millionaire doesn't have any more day than you and I have. Amen? The queen does not have any more time in her day than you and I have. I don't know if any of you saw this. On the 9th of November, did any of you see this? This watch up here is called the Patek Philippe Grandmaster Chime. This watch was auctioned. Did any of you read this? They say you never read anything here, do you? I know that. I am your living newspaper. I understand that. This 9th of November, this watch was sold. Do you know what it was sold for? Became the most expensive watch in the world. 24.3 million pounds. Wow. Now, folks, if you wear a watch like that, you go around hoping that people are going to ask you what the time is. Don't you? I mean, you know, why wouldn't you? I don't know who bought it. I don't know who actually wears it. But I tell you what, that person who spent 24.3 million buying that watch has got no more time in the day than me with my £2 Timex. Because God creates time, and he gives us each day as a gift to us so that we can rejoice in it and live for his glory. Isn't that a marvelous thing? I know that sometimes time feels a little bit longer or a little bit shorter. I understand that. You know, that can depend on what side of the bathroom door you're on, can't it? You know, a minute can be a different feel, can't it? Depending on that, or whether you're sitting in the pew listening, or whether you're up here speaking. I won't go down that road. But have you ever seen the film Groundhog Day? I've seen that film many times. At least I think I have. And it's about this bad-tempered TV weatherman, you know, played by Bill Murray, who's sent to this small American town called Punxsutawney in Pennsylvania in the United States to give a broadcast of the weather based on this groundhog coming up and to whether it can see its shadow or not. Because whether it sees its shadow, it's going to be 6 weeks of good weather. If it can't, it's going to be 6 weeks of bad weather. But what he discovers in going to that town is that he starts to live every day the same. Have you seen? He wakes up 6 o'clock every morning the same, to the same tune that's being played on the alarm clock there. Sonny and Cher's I Want You, Babe. He sees the same people. He experiences the same relationships. He visits the same places. He endures the same frustrations. And it's a fantasy, yes. Living that same day again and again and again. But maybe that's how some of you feel this morning, or you have felt, that life has taken on that monotonous sameness. It seems like no matter what's happening or who it's happening with, as far as you're concerned, the feeling is simply been there, done that. Does that ring any bells? Does it? Maybe our life seems to be suffering from a meaning deficit. Then what I'm saying to you is, look at each day as a God-given gift. And think about it. Do you think the God who created this world gave us the blazing sunsets, flourished us with the blessing of autumn colours and gave us the comets and supernovas, not to mention individual fingerprints that nobody throughout the rest of history, past, present or future, will ever share with you. Do you think that kind of creator created us to have days that simply felt as boring as the next one, as the next one? I think if you get a sense of that, I think it's true to say that you're living without the Creator. And there's no need for that. Because God stepped into this world and into our hunger in Jesus Christ to give us something a lot more meaningful than the same old, that some of us too easily and too quickly just get simply able to accept. God wants more than that for us. Jesus said, "I've come that you may have life and have it to the full." That's what he came to give himself for. Why on earth go through the waters of baptism and risk the reaction of a hostile world if Jesus gave us nothing more than the false hope of believing that by crossing our fingers, it might just work out in the end? Is that it? Look each day to the Lord as a God-given day. This is the day the Lord has made. And then if we're going to add to that and get the sense of God's purpose in it, the second thing you need to understand is that you've got to live each day as God governed that day for us to live. I put it like this. I underline the two verbs. This is the day the Lord has made. The opportunity is in this day for us. It doesn't say that was the day the Lord did make. This is not a message about yesterday. It doesn't say this will be the day that the Lord will make. This is more than a message about tomorrow. It says this is the day the Lord has made, because it's today that we need to live and be governed by the Lord who creates the day for us and wants to make our day with every day, because it's a day of his grace. Amen. Oh, we can only live it to the full because of that one day, as I said, that Jesus died to forgive us our sins for. But the way we live it has got to be governed by God. And if that's going to happen, then to begin with, you've got to start living it one day at a time. One day at a time. I mean, we cannot enjoy yesterday, can we? Not now we can't, because that's just a memory. And we can't enjoy tomorrow. Not now we can't, because that's just a possibility. But we can, and surely we must, live to the full the day that we've got to live now. Do you remember that old country and western gospel song, "One Day at a Time"? Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way. One day at a time. Some of us, you know, we get so bogged down, we get so overwhelmed, we get so overtaken with the fears that we're thinking about that might come tomorrow and the regrets of yesterday, that we're not letting the Lord govern this day for us. And we're missing the joy of it because of that. One day at a time. And what you discover, isn't it true? Babs, you probably know this one. What you discover is the older you get, the quicker it does seem to go, doesn't it? I think life's a little bit like a roll of toilet paper, don't you? The closer you get to the end, the quicker it seems to go. That's my experience. The Bible puts it much more beautifully, of course. We glide along the tides of time as swiftly as a racing river and vanish as quickly as a dream. But it goes quick. Live each day as a God-governed day. As Moses says, teach us to number our days aright, Lord, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Not our years, but our days, one day at a time. Rick Warren wrote the famous book, Purpose-Driven Life, but we need to remember that the way to a purpose-driven life is to have a purpose-driven day. Amen? Because God will take all those days and weave them together if we allow him to govern them for us to make an awesome life. An awesome life. As we do the day, God does the life. You remember that. As we do the day that he's gifted us and wants to govern for us, as we do the day, God does the life. Get on and live the day and let God bring about the life, and you'll have plenty to rejoice in, I can tell you. So don't waste that day. Time is going, but you know, there's this illustration that many of you who have been on time management courses will understand. in terms of how to get the priority of living the day governed by the authority of God right. And some of you may have done this in your time management groups, but basically a leader will take a jar like that with a large mouth to the top. And then they'll bring along a whole series of bags. And the first bag they empty out is a bag full of bigger rocks. And they put these big rocks into the jar, and then they challenge those that have come along to the workshop or to the seminar. As all those big stones go, well, is the jar full? And people say, well, yes, it is full. And he says, well, no, it's not. Then he gets out another bag of smaller pebbles. And then alongside the big rocks that are now in the jar, he starts to put the smaller pebbles. And when he can't get any more smaller pebbles in, the leader says, is it full now? And most people say, well, yeah, it's got to be full now. He said, no, it's not. He gets out another bag. This time he's got some gravel. And he tips it in. And then he asks, is it full? No, it's not full. He gets out some sand. And he starts to pour the sand in, and the sand begins to go between the pebbles and the smaller rocks and then the bigger rocks. And he says, is it full now? No, it's not full now. Then he gets out his little watering can and he starts to put the water into the jar as well until it starts to overflow the top. And now he says it is full. And of course, the challenge is, what's the lesson? What is the lesson in doing that? And people mostly tend to think it's because it's this. When you think you can't do any more, you clearly can. But that's not true. That is not true, and that is not the lesson. The lesson is simply this. If you don't put the big rocks in first, you're never going to get the rest in with it. That's the lesson. If we don't let the Lord govern our day and govern our life, and we get our priorities right with Him, all the things that we might want to do are never going to happen in the way that we want them to happen. They're never going to bless us in the way that God wants them to bless us. We've got to get the priority right. We've got to find time, first of all, to be with the Lord. We were there last week, growing closer to the Lord, finding time in our morning to come before the Lord and bring the day to the Lord so that we get the best from the Lord. It's why some people don't become Christians, isn't it? Not because they don't want to, but simply because they think there's time to put it off and do it later. But there never is. There never is. The Bible says now is the day of God's favor. Now is the time of His salvation. You might never get another opportunity, but here at Shirley Baptist this morning to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to see your day as His gift, allow Him to govern it for you so that He can bless you in it. When I worked at the church army in Southampton many years ago, training in my social work days, I remember to this day, the night that one man came in. We ran a residential home in Carlton Crescent, just in Southampton there. Used to be a Christian bookshop, just round the corner. Some of you will remember it. This guy came in. I was on the night shift. He came in. I was just a night shift worker, you know, on kind of a placement in the church army. And they told me that we're full up that night. There's no one else that I can take in. The fire regulations won't allow it. The insurance won't call for it. This guy came in about midnight. He said he needed a bed. And I'm under orders. I can't give him a bed. So he had to go off into the night. And I still got the paper, you know, where I read the headlines 2 days later that this particular chap gone out and taken his own life. Still, it does. It breaks my heart. You know, if I could take that time back, I would. But you know, the fact is this, we never know whether we're going to have another day. This is the day the Lord has made. The possibility of what God plans for this day needs to be grasped now before it's gone, because you can't get it back again. And He's come to us to give us that opportunity. And when we see somebody going through the waters of baptism, it ought to remind us, if nothing else, what an opportunity we've got to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to get close to Him, to live each day as a God-governed day. So whatever He wants us to do is always the best for us. And that's why we don't bury our talents. We want to use them, isn't it? We don't lack for opportunity. They're all around us. But we need to grasp the opportunity. That's why we've got the prayer meeting on Thursday, because we want to pray into the situation that we've got young people coming on a Wednesday and a Sunday morning that need people to teach them and take them through the purposes and plans for God's love for them. The opportunity is there. You know, folks need a welcome when they come in. Why not me? Folks need a cup of coffee when they go out. Why not me? There's opportunity there because we're all talented and gifted in such a way that God doesn't want us to bury those talents. He wants us to use them for His glory. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What an opportunity. Why wait to get to heaven and think, well, look at what I could have done if I'd have put aside what I wanted to do most and done what God has called and gifted me to do. I would have discovered what everybody discovers, that actually that's the best way to go. Anyway, amen? Billy Graham once said, the biggest surprise in his life was the brevity of it. And we need to make every day count. I know there are some sports where you can actually take a time out, but in life you can't. Time is different than money. Money you can save, time you cannot save. Money you can stretch. Got a pound stretchers. Money you can, time you can't stretch. Time is here and now. It's God's gift of this day. Let Him govern it for you. And then last of all, before the fire groups come back in, let us, that's the second part, let's put that one up. Love each day as a God-gladdened day. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let us rejoice, it says. I underline it. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I think a better translation actually is the Authorized, which says, I will rejoice and be glad in it, because it's an attitude of heart. There's an invitation here, but there's an attitude of heart. You know, you've heard that expression, where there's a will, there's a way. It's my will. You know, whatever the day hits me with, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, because it's God's gift to me. I'm looking to the Lord to govern me through it. I ought to be glad because of it. You know, whether my circumstances are good, whether the day goes well, and let's face it, I mean, we all have bad days, don't we? Hey, we do, don't we? I mean, look at what you're going through at the moment. Listen to me. I mean, we all have bad days. And yet, like Paul in prison, I can rejoice, if in nothing else, in the fact I've got guards that are chained to me that I can witness to. Where are they going to go? He can't escape. Like David against Goliath, I can at least rejoice in the fact he's too big to miss. Amen? And like Jesus on the cross, I can rejoice that there's help in my hurt. And we saw that the other week, didn't we? That God can comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have been given. I know from my point of view that my to-do list often gets interrupted by God's to-do list for me. And you may have discovered that yourselves. And sometimes the way I want to go is not necessarily the way He wants me to go. But when I go His way, I experience what I can never experience outside of Him. I can learn what I can never learn outside of Him and away from Him. And I can discover what I'll never discover without knowing Him. Whether I enjoy my day or not, it's up to me to be glad in Him for that day. Amen? I remember one of the things that our guide said to us when I was in Israel this year about leading British groups of tourists around the Holy Land. And she said that the thing they notice about the Brits is they're always complaining about the weather. I said, no. No, isn't that stereotypical? No, he said, they moan when they get here, it's been too wet at home, and then they moan when they get here because it's too hot here. And then she went on and she said, and almost by way of pleading, she said, don't miss the glory of rainy days. And that kind of stuck with me. Don't miss the glory of rainy days. We know from Jesus's life, there's no Easter before Good Friday. The more it rains in our life, do you know what happens? The greener we become, the more fruitful we become. That's what rain does. That's what pain does. That's what suffering does. It greens us up. It matures us. That's what we're praying for Adelaide. Yeah, a young girl who comes through the waters of baptism. All her days are not going to be great days, But every day could be a day that she can be gladdened in the heart of God, because it's a day to learn something. It's a day to experience something. It's a day to discover something else about herself in order to become the very woman of God that He plans and purposes for her to be. And the same is true of you, and the same is true of me. All sunshine makes a desert. Does it not? I think it does. And sometimes the most precious moments in our relationship with Jesus come when the clouds are covering the sun, and when our resources can't do a thing to meet our need, and when very few people seem to care, and no one at all seems to understand. And when God brings us to that point, what else can we do than collapse into the arms of one who will never let us go, and who loves us that much? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We may never get to the point where we are enjoying the rain, but please God, we can start to love what the rain is doing. Amen. To quote Billy Graham as I close, this is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it, or I can use it for good. But what I do today is very important, because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place that I've traded it for. I want it to be gain, not loss. I want it to be good, not evil. I want it to be success, not failure, in order that I shall not regret ever the price that I paid for it. And as Adelaide comes to be baptized with all of her life before her, I hope that we can all grasp that simple truth. Live each day looking to the Lord to make our day in every day. Because this is the day the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice with Adelaide today. And we're going to rejoice every day, because our God is with us, whatever the day, to make our day. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. And thank you that we're going to have a living testimony to the reality of it in a few moments' time. So again, we just pray your special anointing and blessing on Adelaide. Thank you for mum and dad that support her in this decision, that stand with her in her faith and with her commitment. And may she grow up, Lord. May she grow up to mature and to green, to be a true woman of God, to live her days in a way that for all eternity, there are many people in heaven that will give thanks to God for Adelaide for. Bless her richly, and us as we share this time with her. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.